Family, God bless you. So fortunate today. We're going to be blessed with the word by Reverend Lindzell Smith. You welcome him with an amen as he comes and shares the word. Got your mic? No.
Good morning, Nazarene family. God bless you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. This morning, we will be coming from the New Testament writing book called Luke. Before we go there, if you would pray with me for a moment. Father God, we come humbly this morning to thank and praise you because you're good. We thank you because you have all power. We ask now, Lord, that you would look on us, that you would, Father, let your word go forth with power. Let it help somebody that might be hurting. We pray now, Lord, that you would use my mind to do your thinking, my mouth to do your talking. Pray, Lord, that you would be glorified, your people edified. And Lord, somebody that doesn't know you, pray that they come running asking, what must I do to be saved? These and all blessings we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the New Testament writing, reading from the New International Version of the Bible this morning. And you can find your reading in Luke chapter 12. We'll commence at Start reading at verse number 22. It simply reads like this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And this is the best part. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Just for a few moments, I'd like to deal with this little simple text. God's view on worrying. God's view on worrying. When we look at life today, there's so many things that are going on. We look at unemployment is at an all-time high. Leadership's trying to keep us divided. There's lock-ins and shutdowns. Of course, we have this pandemic which has claimed over 130,000 lives in the U.S. alone. One might argue that this would be a good time to worry. In fact, some might even suggest or say that you have the right to worry. But in this text today, we're going to grab some lessons from Jesus. And Jesus is going to help us to understand how he feels about worrying. When we look at the text, Jesus opens by talking to his disciples. He talks to his disciples and he tells them apparently that there's something that they need to stop doing. And that something is worrying. Today we're going to look at three little quick points that we can extrapolate or draw from this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. These points, we're going to talk about how God feels about worrying, what God doesn't want us to do, and then why we don't have to worry. And so when we look at how he starts out talking to his disciples, we must understand that he turns to the disciples after just having talked to the multitude. He starts out by saying, therefore, which simply means in the previous verses, he had just taught them about greed, about storing up your treasures, building big barns and putting up your money, only to have it mean nothing because it has not helped nobody. And so Jesus, knowing
after this teaching, his disciples must have had something heavy on their minds, because he emphatically tells them, do not worry. Do not worry. And you got to remember now, Jesus' disciples, they're not some Harvard-educated individuals. These are farmers and fishermen and a tax collector. But Jesus had just finished telling them about not storing up stuff. They had something on their mind. But Jesus knew that what was on their mind could hinder the work that they had to do. And so Jesus says, do not worry. So what is this word? What is worry? Another word we could use would be anxiety, to be anxious. When you think about worrying, another definition says that it is to be pulled apart in a different direction, like a force exerted by sinful anxiety. If I could bring to you this picture, it would be like taking a rope in a game of tug of war, where you have the red tie right in the middle. And in that rope, on one side, you have worry. On another side, you have God's work. Well, the more you worry, the less work you can do for God. The more you worry, the less faith you have for God. The more you worry, the less you can focus on God. So when we think about this word worry, worrying is a distraction. I say worry is a distraction. Why? Because it keeps us from focusing on what God has called us to do. And believe me, you, God didn't just save us to rock our way to heaven anyhow. He has some work for us to do. He has some places for us to go. He has some people for us to see. And these disciples had some work that they were about to embark on. But yet, even though they were walking with Jesus, he knew that they would experience some worry. He knew that they would get distracted. The potential was there. And so he addresses it up front. And so I want to address it with us today. He says, worrying, don't do it. I could sit down right there and say amen. Sermon preached. But Jesus goes on a little bit further and says, just in case you might have some questions, disciples, let me give you some examples. I want to talk to you a little more. I want to go into a little more detail with you. What is it I don't want you worrying about? He says, I'm going to sum it up in this one little word, four-letter word, but a big word. He says, I don't want you to worry about life. Ooh. I can hear the disciples. What is Jesus talking about? I could hear us. If he would tell us, don't worry about life. Jesus, what are you saying? You mean, don't just lay down and don't do nothing? That's not what he's suggesting to us. He's suggesting to them that I don't want you so fixated on the cares of this world. I don't want you so fixated on what you're going to eat. I don't want you so fixated on how you're going to nourish your body. I don't want you so fixated on how you're going to clothe your body. I don't want you worrying about what you're going to wear. Oh, these sound like some familiar issues. Sound like some familiar worries. Many of us today, when we think about life, right, we're worried about how we're going to make it from day to day. We're worried about how we're going to pay the bills. We're worried about where my next meal is going to come from. We're worried about how am I going to get over this sickness. We're worried about, even though you have a job, we're worried about what's going to happen if I lose my job. Some folks got unemployment and getting more money than they've ever made in their life, but they're worried about what am I going to do when this unemployment cut off. Jesus says, don't worry about life. Don't do it. Oh, if I had you in here, I'll tell you to just repeat after me and say, don't do it. When worry creeps in, don't do it. When you start thinking about how you're going to make it, don't do it. When you start thinking about how you're going to make it on tomorrow, don't do it. When you start thinking about how you're going to make it on next week, don't do it. Jesus says to his disciples, simply don't do it. My. Jesus' point is simply this. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. You know what? We have to remember that this body that we're dressing up, we get so focused on dressing it up that we forget that the body has some work to do. And I want to make sure that we understand that it's okay to make sure that we take care of ourselves, but Jesus wants us focused on him to taking care of us so that in turn we can go out and take care of the upbuilding of his kingdom. And as I hurry on, not only does Jesus tell them in that first verse not to worry, not only does he tell them why they don't or what they need to worry about, which is life, he says, you know, I think y'all are not quite getting it yet, so I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to give you some stuff that you might be able to relate to. So Jesus twists, he takes a turn and he says, consider this. Wow. You know, I ran past the word, Pastor, consider this. Consider this was, it was like there was an all points bulletin going out. It simply meant, hey, pay attention. Perk up, listen, and those that are watching and listening, listen, because I got something to tell you about this thing called life. I want you to look at these examples of why you don't have to worry. He says, and we're going to look at what he does. He says, consider the raven. Oh, Lord. Consider, Lord, what? Why do you want to talk about birds? Well, he wants us to understand, in fact, the disciples understood that when he talked about ravens, ravens made the banned list back in Leviticus. And because they were on the banned list, they knew that ravens were really not good for nothing. They were an unclean specimen, an unclean animal. So why does he start to deal with unclean animals? He says, well, what I want you to know is even if you look at the unclean animal, this raven that does not work, he does not go out and he don't do nothing. The raven does not work for me. He does not sow, does not reap, but yet I take care of the raven. Well, Jesus, you mean if you'll take care of the raven, what does that mean for me? Well, I'm sure some of us, just like these ravens, have been on the banned list. You felt outcast. You felt ostracized. You felt shut out. You felt you've been told you can't make it. You've been told you can't get the promotion. You've been told you don't belong. Whether it's because of how we look, whether it's because of how we dress, whether it's because of what my last name is. Some of us have been placed on the banned list, but I need you to know even in our significance, God is willing to take care of us. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Lord. He says, not only, he could have stopped right there and sat down, but he moves on. Yeah. Jesus, come on. Oh, that's why I love Jesus. He's so articulate with his teaching, but yet he makes it so plain. Then he moves on after he talks about these insignificant ravens. He moves on and he says, I want you to consider the lilies of the field. Yeah. Now, Lord, you're talking about some lilies. You tell me don't worry about life, but now you want to move and talk about lilies. What does that have to do with anything? I'm so glad you asked. Lilies, he compares. He says, consider the lilies. Now, he don't tell us what flower he's talking about, but if I could use my sanctified imagination, I lived in Texas, and there was these purple flowers that just grow all over the place. And there was a field of them. And you ride by, looks so beautiful. And I used to say, man, I wonder, did somebody plant these? Did somebody take the time to go out, put these flowers in? I asked my auntie, she said, no, they just come up. And then you look around, and they gone. I say, so nobody? Nobody's handling the lilies? She said, no, they just come up. And you look around, and they gone. But God tells us, even how beautiful the lilies are, he compares them to Solomon. Now, we know Solomon. Solomon was a good-looking man, right? Dressed in all of his fine linen, had all of his much gold. But yet, even Solomon, in all of his good looks, fine linen, much gold, and even in all of his women, he says, he's not prettier than my lilies. He's not pretty. But the lilies, as pretty as they are, guess what? They don't work either. They don't do nothing. In fact, they're here today, gone tomorrow. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God is saying that I'll take care of these lilies. And he says, not only will I take care of them, but I cover them. Cover them. Now, I'm not going to stand here and try to make you believe that I grew up on a farm and all that good stuff. Just not my story. But I happen to know a farmer. Happen to know somebody that's been around agriculture a little bit. And so he helped me to understand what this thing was that's called a covering. And it's a cover crop, if you will. Cover crop. So the crop, and remember, he's talking to farmers. He's talking to fishermen, people that are used to living off of the earth. He says, I want y'all to understand this. This cover crop, what a cover crop is, it's where you plant something to make sure that in between the fall and the spring, when there is no harvest yet, that there's some protection going on with this cover crop. So he says, I will cover the crop. I will add nourishment, because that's, you got to understand, that's what this cover crop does. I read it, y'all. I looked it up, and it says the cover crop is a plant used primarily to slow erosion, improve soil health, enhance water availability, smother the weeds. Now, I'm sure I got enough people that have houses that's listening. And you know how dangerous of what weeds can do. Weeds can kill roses. Weeds make your house look ugly. Weeds are not good for nothing. But yet he says, this cover crop smothers the weeds, help control pests and diseases. He says, and bring a host of other benefits to your farm. So that when the sun starts to shine, when it's time to start to go out there and look at the crop, he says, because I've been covering it in the off season, I didn't let no hurt, harm, no danger come to the crop during the off season. Because I've been adding nourishment to the crop, I've been adding water, which means life, to the crop. He says, I've got it covered. Ooh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. But I got some good news. Y'all are probably saying, listen, I don't have no farm, and I don't have no crop. Well, when I bring it up to 2020, I want us to know we still serve the same God. The same God that covered the crop is the same God that covers your life. You don't have to worry, because God will add nourishment to your life. God has us covered. And here, I want us to understand this. Going all the way back to Genesis, God has made us a little higher than the raven. He's made us to rule over the ravens, not be ruled by. And so God says that I have made you. And when you look at everything that God made, he said it was good, it was good, it was good. And then he made man and said man was very good. And so that's good news right there. God has not let down anything that he's made. Whatever God made, he takes care of. Whatever God made, he makes sure that it does what it's supposed to do. Now, I want you to understand that when we talk about not worrying, that's the reason why we don't have to worry. Because we got a God that never quits. We got a God that sits high and looks low. He's not only able to cover us on this side, but God has given us, oh Lord, a whole life insurance plan. Well, he not only takes care of us on this side, but over 2,000 years ago, he sent his son Jesus. He sent him out of Golgotha's hill. The Bible says that they hung him out on the cross and they stretched him wide. You know the story. He bowed his head and he died. But the story doesn't end right there. The Bible says 3 days later, he rose with all power in his hands. And that's all I'm trying to get us to understand today, that the God that's covering us, he don't have some power, but he has all power. And because he lives, we can live. Because he's covering us, we don't have to worry. I know times get hard sometimes. I know your pockets get thin sometimes. I know the car might not even run sometimes. But I need us to understand that God has us covered. But he not only covers us on this side, but he's made preparation on that side. For the Bible says that some glad morning, when this life is over, we shall fly away and be at rest. There'll be no more crying, because God will wipe the tears from our eyes. John says it like this: in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. But I go away to prepare a place, that where I am, there you may be also. God has us covered. So when you're tempted to worry, my brothers and sisters, don't do it. When life happens, don't do it. As you look at CNN and they put all of the statistics on the screen and you start to ponder, don't do it. When you're worried about your loved ones and how they're acting, don't worry, don't do it. Whatever hits you in your face that has a propensity to make you lean towards worry, don't do it. God has us covered. May God add a blessing to the hearers of his word today. May he keep you above us, make his face to smile upon you, and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. Let's thank God for the word today. Amen. Reverend Lindzell Smith, what God thinks about worrying. Jesus said, don't do it. Amen. To worry is insulting the Father. When you claim to be a Christian and you say, I'm worried about, it's an embarrassment to the Father. It's acting as if your father cannot handle you or the circumstances around you. We thank God for the word today. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Reverend Smith. We appreciate you and appreciate the word. Know for a fact that life is different for those who have a relationship with God as their father versus those who don't. God is the creator of all, but he is not the father of all. I'm going to say that again. He is the creator of all, but he is not the father of all. God is the father of those who trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then he adopts us, he redeems us as sons and daughters by trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Perhaps you've never done that. Perhaps you recognize, I've never prayed that prayer. I've never received Christ for the forgiveness of sin. You need to know that today is a good day. First of all, you're alive. Secondly, if you're in your right mind, then you right now have the ability to acknowledge and admit that you do need a Savior, and that can be found in Jesus Christ. And by believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and admitting that and inviting him into your heart and asking him to save you, that can happen today. The great news is God wants you as his child, and you're alive and you have that opportunity. I'm praying that you will do that right now. A simple prayer. God, I admit that I am a sinner. I accept your son that you gave. I invite him into my heart. I ask you to save me and accept me right now. And if you do that, God will surely do that, and you will become a Christian. And now it's your chance to, you will grow in his, you need to begin to grow in his grace and in his knowledge. I want you to please acknowledge whether or not you received the Lord as your Savior today. Know that we would love to make connection with you and help you to begin your walk of faith in the Lord. And so we want to encourage you to do that. Hey, listen, today is First Sunday, and we want to pause and just acknowledge and remember what God did through Jesus Christ. And so we'll share our communion, and I share with you, Minister Hamler, he told you at the beginning, today we will share in our communion celebration. So if you have your juice, your cracker, whatever you're using as your element, it may be a cracker. I don't care if it's white or brown, or maybe a piece of bread, whatever that is. It might be cranberry, whatever it is, whatever the juice, it's all symbolic. It's a symbol of Christ's body. It's a symbol of his blood. But the word said, do this in remembrance of me. And as often as you do it, you're remembering my death until I come again. Dwight, let me have one. Thank you, sir. With his disciples, he did share the Passover meal, but it was after the Passover meal that Jesus shared this, helping us to know that it's different than the Passover meal. It's something that we do not to remember the Passover, but it's something we do to remember him. He said, do this in remembrance of me. We don't do this to get saved. We do this because we have been saved, and we're remembering our Savior. We're remembering that price, that debt that we owed that we could not pay, that Minister Hamler was talking about earlier today, and that debt cost him his body. Do this in remembrance of him. Let's share together. Amen. Amen. God bless you.